for the last couple months, it has fallen my lot to try to take on this Q&A approach to the lessons. I need some cues. So people ask some questions, because it's kind of hard to find for what I'm trying to find a question that I can feel like I can put something together on. I know last time we talked, just I heard Aaron say something, so I kind of put that together about the order of the church and the order of services. And so I try to look at different things. So if you have a question, please ask. Because pretty much I'll read through the OPA to see if anything sparks my attention, or maybe I'll read through a guy in Wood's book and look at his questions and see if anything sparks my attention. So if you have anything, please feel free to ask. Because if not, you might just kind of end up with what you're going to get tonight. This almost has a feel of more of a Carl Johnson back pages lesson. So if you're from the OPA, he would have lessons such as this. But my question tonight is, who is Epimenides? Who is Epimenides? And so I got to thinking about this. Tim, when he was here, referenced Epimenides. He didn't reference him by name. But as he started talking, I started picking up and doing a little research, and I found some pretty interesting facts about this man, Epimenides. There's a picture of him, or there's a bust of him. Epimenides was an old philosopher that had been around years and years, hundreds of years before the writing of the New Testament. So you see here, Epimenides on this little coin, drawing of the coin, he was a Cretan. So he was from the island of Crete. And up here, we'll talk about this in a minute, lots of birds up here with him. I think that's important into the study of Epimenides. But Epimenides was a philosopher from Crete. He lived around 600 to 500 BC. It's kind of hard to put a correct or accurate date on it. But he'd been very close to the time frame of Jeremiah the prophet. Think about the writings of Jeremiah, what was going on in the world at that time. He's just a little bit further west. He is in the nation of Crete. Epimenides was an author. He was a poet. So he wrote religious and poetic writings. He was a philosopher. He was a well-known scholar of his day, very well respected for the thoughts that he had and for the ideas that he could come up with. He was a thinker. So might start our lesson by asking, why is he important? Why would I take time to talk about Epimenides, a person that nobody's ever heard of? Probably in our building tonight, I'm guessing no one's ever heard of Epimenides by name. There's a reason for it. And that is there are two separate quotations of this philosopher in the New Testament. So Epimenides, his thoughts, his words were deemed worthy enough of the Holy Spirit and the apostles to place in the New Testament. And so I got thinking about all the great philosophers, all the great poets, all the great thinkers of the ancient world. Well, there's two separate quotations. That's more than Plato, Socrates, Pythagoras, Aristotle, Archimedes, Homer, Ovid. You name it, anything you can think of from that old time frame, from the time of antiquity, all of those combined did get two quotations in the New Testament. So there must be something special about this fella Epimenides and the way that he taught and the things that he said. So let's talk a little bit about Epimenides. Epimenides, we do know, is from the nation of Crete. So Crete is right kind of smack dab in the middle of a lot of the activity of the early church. And this is what Tim was referencing in his lesson. His lesson Sunday afternoon was, I can't remember the title, but he said Paul in Athens, I believe was the title of his lesson. But he talked about how the Apostle Paul went around these different areas. He was in Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. So he was in Ephesus. He ended up in Crete. He went to Corinth, to Athens, Thessalonica, Philippi. So this whole region is right smack in the middle of the books of the Bible that we read about. Philippians and Corinthians and Thessalonians. All these different congregations were found in this area, and Crete was right there with them. So that's important. Look how close Crete is to Athens. So Athens was the cradle of civilization, or one of the cradles of civilization during that time period. Super, super intelligent. It was just where people liked to get together and think. And a lot of our democracy and democratic ideas, actually you can trace back to the steps of Athens. And so Tim's lesson talked about the Areopagus and the great meeting hall, Mars Hill, where Paul stood up and preached to the men there at the city of Athens. But we got to fast forward. No, we don't. We need to rewind a couple hundred years from the time of Paul. We have to go back to the time of Epimenides. So this would have been about somewhere between 600 to 500 B.C. Something bad happened in the city of Athens. And no one really knows what happened. There's some just some shrouded references to it. But they had some sort of a plague. So this great plague affected the city of Athens. So I don't know if it was like COVID. I don't know. I got to looking at this picture of him again, and I noticed all those birds. I wonder, was it one of those avian flus? Was it a bird flu? I don't know. Was it some type of influenza outbreak? But whatever it was, people were dying left and right there in the city of Athens. Something terrible. So with our COVID outbreak a couple years ago, as I was kind of researching this, there has been a little bit of interest in this man, Epimenides, just because he went through an epidemic or a pandemic just like we did a couple years ago. So I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a bubonic plague type. I don't know if it was a black death type. I don't know what it was. But somewhere between 600 to 500 B.C., before the time of Christ, which will arrive about the time of Jeremiah the prophet's writing, there was something happening in Athens. And so Athens, known for their intelligence, known for their logical thinking and for their studies and their just great wisdom, they started looking for answers. What can we do to stop this plague? They tried everything. And so someone suggested, let's call Epimenides. He can help. He's smart. You know, Epimenides, he's a great philosopher. Maybe Epimenides will know what to do. I don't know if I want to read it to you like this because it is kind of hard to understand. But this is from the Roman historian Diogenes Laertius. So this is from an actual Roman document. Let me just kind of summarize it. If you want to read it, I've got it here on the paper. It's two slides of this nonsense. It's hard to understand. But here's the basic idea. The Greeks in Athens knew how smart Epimenides was. And so they got to the idea, the princess, it says, at Delphi said, hey, let's send a ship. And we'll send a ship from Athens all the way down to Crete. And she sent her son, I believe, Nicias, the son of Maceratus, to Crete to invite Epimenides to come back to Athens to see if he has a way to eradicate this horrible plague. Maybe he will know how to stop this problem. And so Epimenides, he had a plan. Kind of a little bit goofy, but he had a plan. The plan that Epimenides had, according to this Roman historian, was he took some sheep. He got them hungry. Some black sheep and some white sheep. Got them to the point where they're almost starving. He took them up to Mars Hill, there in the city of Athens that Tim was discussing the other day. And he let the sheep loose. And those sheep were running around eating the grass wherever. And as soon as they got full, wherever the sheep stopped to take a nap, wherever that sheep stopped, he said, that's where you need to build an altar. And so wherever that sheep fell, they would put an altar up, and they would sacrifice that sheep to whatever god they decided to. And it got to the point where there were so many sheep. There was a whole bunch of altars. And there was a whole bunch of altars that didn't have names. And it ended up they had more altars than they had gods. And so it became said about the city of Athens, there were more gods in the city of Athens than there were people. And so it was from Epimenides. It was his idea to let these goats run around. And it says the Athenians have altars without names, which are a sort of memorial of the propitiation of the gods that then took place. And so in the Greek way of thinking, wherever these sheep laid down, they built an altar, they would sacrifice the sheep, and they would build an altar to a God that had no name. And for about 500 years, they had all these little altars all over the city of Athens. They served as memorials and reminders. And after a while, I suppose some of them kind of got discarded. I suppose some of them were moved so you could build new buildings and roads and whatnot. And out of all of these idols and these altars to these gods without names, eventually it seems that the people of Athens decided to consolidate this concept into one centralized local altar. And there they erected an altar to the unknown God. And that's what we read about in Acts 17. And so this is what Brother Tim was referencing in his lesson. But this is the story of Epimenides. It was his idea that kind of led to the unknown God. Acts 17 and 22, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." And from there, to the unknown God, that altar, which at probably one time had been an altar where one of Epimenides' sheep had took a nap. To this site, this altar of the unknown God, Paul then uses this as a segue into teaching the people of Athens the gospel. And so he was able to use this man's Epimenides' idea. And he's even going to also quote him. So continuing verse 25, Acts 17. He says, "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and their boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he was not far from each one of us. For we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring." So I have two of them in color here. "For in him we live and move and have our being." That is a quote from Epimenides. That is from a book of Epimenides, his writing. "For we live and move and have our being." So when the Apostle Paul said that to the Athens crowd, they instantly would have perked up because they knew that that was a famous quote from this old Cretan philosopher. Kind of interesting. And now Paul uses it and kind of twists it to put it in meaning of the true God. And so this is a great gospel lesson that he is using the context of Epimenides. This line in red here, "For we are also his offspring," Paul sort of gives credit. He said, "As some of your own poets have said," this is a man by the name of, I've seen it spelled different ways, Aretas or Aretas. One time it only had one A, A-R-T-U-S, so I don't know exactly how the spelling comes across now. But he actually quotes one of the prophets, or not prophets, but one of the poets of this area. Someone that they would relate to. Because the Greeks were all about studying and knowledge and quotations. And when he said this, I promise you, they picked up on it. So this quote right here, "For in him we live and move and have our being." That was from a book that Epimenides called Critica that he had written some 600 years before the Apostle Paul even spoke about it. And so what this is talking about, it's in reference to a dialogue between Minos and Zeus. And so if you remember anything about Greek mythology, Minos was the king of Crete. And so he was destined by the gods to have to deal with this old guy called the Minotaur. And the Minotaur was half bull, I think, half man. And he had to work his way through a maze that was called the Labyrinth. So I don't know if you remember any of that. But that's kind of where the story comes from. But this talk is between Minos and Zeus, who is supposedly the highest of the Greek gods. It says, they fashion a tomb for you, holy and high one. Cretans, always liars. Evil beasts, idle bellies. But you are not dead. You live and abide forever. For in you we live and move and have our being. So that's that quote that Paul pulled out of Epimenides. Because he's talking about how the Cretans are liars. The lie was talking about how Zeus was going to live and abide forever. And Apostle Paul said, no. He said, God winked at those times of ignorance in the past. But now, we have to understand that there is a true living God. And it's not Zeus. And it's not any of these other gods you have. It's not Apollos. Or it's not Athena. It's not Aphrodite. It's none of these gods or goddesses. It's the true God, Jehovah of Israel. And so that's where Paul takes off on his discussion of the gospel. But he referenced Epimenides from his book. The same guy whose sheep idea had led to the formation of the altar of the unknown God. Pretty interesting. Well, now we get to Titus 1 and 12. Now Paul is writing to Titus. Again, he kind of vaguely references. He doesn't give a name. But he says, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Well, similar to what we just read. And then there was a man named Clement of Alexandria. He was one of the big first century writers, and he was a contemporary of both John and Paul. And Clement of Alexandria was one that identified this Cretan prophet to be Epimenides. And so that quote, now anytime you, if you look at any of your reference Bibles, it's going to give, probably has a prophet of their own, it's probably got a footnote right there, and you look at it, it's going to say it's Epimenides. And so now we know who Epimenides is. Well, sometime later, philosophers started latching onto this. So this is where it gets kind of interesting. I kind of like this because y'all know I'm a logic, math, puzzle kind of guy. But there is something throughout history that has become known as the Epimenides paradox. Okay, the Epimenides paradox. And here's the idea. Remember what he said? Epimenides said, let me read it for you one more time. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Cretans are always liars. So, Epimenides himself was a Cretan. He was from Crete. And so then he said, all Cretans are liars. Well, if all Cretans are liars, and Epimenides was a Cretan, therefore Epimenides was a liar. And if Epimenides is a liar, then the statement that all Cretans are liars must be a lie, which would then mean that all Cretans tell the truth. And so it's called the Epimenides paradox, where it's talking about how you can't, it's called circular logic, where you can't insert yourself into a logical statement. If you've ever seen the movie The Princess Bride, there's a part in there that's nearly exactly the same thing, where two guys are trying to figure out which glass of wine has been spiked with poison. And it's almost the exact same conversation. It is called the Epimenides paradox. Because if Epimenides is a liar, all Cretans are liars, must mean that all Cretans tell the truth. That means Epimenides tells the truth. Therefore, the statement all Cretans are liars is both true and false at the same time. And so philosophers have jumped on that for years. And just looking, I found a couple of them right there. One of them's old Pinocchio over there. We know that Pinocchio's nose grew when he told a lie. He says, my nose will grow now. Was that a true statement? Well, if it's true, it can't grow. If it's a false statement, then it's circular logic. You can't figure it out. Then I found this one. I don't know what this little dinosaur's thinking, but he says, if you say you're a liar, how do I know that you're telling the truth? And so that's the idea of the Epimenides paradox. And so that, I don't think he meant it like that when he wrote it in his book. Nor do I think the Apostle Paul was trying to jump onto the Epimenides paradox when he quoted him in his letter to Titus. But over the years, philosophers and studies of logic and mathematicians have jumped on Epimenides here and talk about the Epimenides paradox, or whatever that's worth. In conclusion, Epimenides was a Cretan philosopher and a poet who lived around 600 to 500 BC, which would have been about the same time as our prophet Jeremiah. He was very well known. He was very well known by the Greeks, who were at the cradle of knowledge. I spread somewhere, where I would get a number like this. I believe he was the 157th, something ridiculous like that, the 157th most important philosopher in the history of the world. I mean, I don't know who ranks those or what it was. And they said he was actually down from the previous year, so I guess they have rankings every year like the college football playoff. I don't know. But to me, he's a pretty important philosopher, because more than any other philosopher or thinker of the time that I can even put my head around, Epimenides can claim two quotations by the Apostle Paul. He can claim two quotations. Plato can't do that, and Socrates can't do that, and Pythagoras can't do that. Only Epimenides, as far as I know, can claim two different quotations in the Bible by the Apostle Paul. And it was his actions and his idea with the story of the sheep, and let the sheep run around and they fall down, and then build an altar and sacrifice the sheep on that altar, and it'll be to whatever god you want it to be. That would have been the concept of the altar of the unknown god that the Apostle Paul stumbled upon there in the city of Athens, that led directly to his teaching of the gospel to this group of heathen Gentiles. And he also formulated, whether knowingly or unknowingly, the Epimenides paradox about being a liar, or is it truth, or is it a lie? Trying to make a statement that's both true and false at the same time. Sounds like a pretty good idea for politicians. I think they have studied that pretty well. I think that's called playing both sides of the fence or something like that, when you can make a statement that's both true and false at the same time. Questions. And if you have a question, chances are I'm not going to be able to answer it, but I will try if anybody's got a comment or a question. Like I said, bring some questions, because if not, you're just going to end up with nonsense such as this. But I feel it's interesting. I think it gives a backstory to what Brother Tim was teaching in his lesson. And so the story of the Cretan poet and the Cretan philosopher, Epimenides.